During the week when I was praying and seeking the Lord, I kept feeling, you know, in the last week, well, let me go back a little bit. You know, I've been listening to the scriptures. I have it on my car. I listen to them, and I listen to this week the book of Luke and book of Mark and part of Matthew. And there was one message that I heard, one of the parables of Yeshua. It's a parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And it's such a profound parable. And I felt, boy, the Lord really wants me to teach on this. It's just powerful. I know He wants me to teach on this. So Tuesday, I was sitting down. No one was home. Of course, Irene comes here on Tuesdays. And I was praying, Lord, you know, help me to put something together on this. It's just, I know this is, you know, I felt this was what God wanted. And I kept trying and just nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. So I spent a long time in prayer. You know, Lord, what do you want me to teach on? You know, what do you want me to teach on, Lord? What do you want me to share? But it wasn't that. It wasn't about that. And I heard from Him that I was supposed to share on how to hear from God. Because I've been praying a lot that I want to hear from God. I want to know God's will in my life. I want to know what God is saying. I need direction. And I need to give direction to the congregation. So today I'm going to be sharing on how to hear from God. Now, I don't have the answers. I'm telling you, I don't have the answers. But I hope what I have to share will be a help to you and to me. But I want to start off with a little story, a little anecdote here. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. And answering an ad in a newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. And when he arrived, he entered this large, busy office that was filled with noise and all the clicking and all the clattering, the sound of the telegraphs going on in the background, just very noisy and clatter. And a sign on the receptionist's desk instructed all the job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned into the inner office for their interview. But all of a sudden, there was this young man who filled out his form, and he sat down with the seven other applicants that were there for that job of a Morse code applicator in the waiting room. And after a few minutes, this young man, he stood up. He crossed the room to the door where the inner office was, where the interviews were taking place, and he walked straight in. Naturally, all the other applicants, they perked up and they wondered, what's going on here? Why is he going into that office? And they began to mutter among themselves that they hadn't been called into the office and he was there the last, and why is he going in there and he wasn't called and this is wrong. And they thought, well, he just made a mistake. He's going to be disqualified, kicked out. However, a few minutes later, the employer escorted this young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled. And the other applicants, they began grumbling among each other. Not that we do that, right? Not at all. And one spoke up saying, wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last one to come in. And we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. Now, that's just not fair. So the employer said, I'm sorry, but all the time that you were sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. And the Morse code clicking was saying, if you understand this message, then come right into the inner office because the job is yours. But the others, they never heard it at all. Only this young man heard that, and he came right in, and he got the job. You know, we live in a world today that's full of busyness and clatter and noise, just like this office where this Morse code was taking place. And people are distracted. We're distracted and unable to hear that still, small voice of God as He speaks to us because of all the noise and all the clatter about us. And the question really is, you know, what about you in this room and me? Are you tuned in to God's voice? Are you tuned in? Do you hear when God speaks to you? Are you listening for God's still and quiet voice in the midst of all the busyness and all the clatter going around? So today, as I mentioned, I want to talk about how to hear God's voice. And this is just kind of just a partial thing. And I want you to see exactly how God speaks to us so that you can hear Him when He speaks to you. How many of you have ever heard God speak to you? Well, that's a lot of you. Well, that's good. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 47, it says, He who belongs to God hears what God says. And the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And preferably by the end of this message today, we'll become more aware of the times when God was speaking to us in the past, and maybe we didn't hear it. And more aware of when God will be trying to speak to you in the future. So the first thing you have to do to hear God's voice is to tune in. To tune in. Now, all of us, when we're in the car, we know how to tune in to our favorite station. I listen to Moody Radio. Occasionally, I listen to the Joy FM. You get that over here? Now and then, I listen to the evil NPR because to get news sometimes. But we tune in. And unless we tune in to the station that we want, rather if it's 95.1 or 105.7, what it is, we have to tune in to it. And we can't listen to it unless we're properly tuned in. Well, the same thing, you can't hear from God unless you are tuned in. You are plugged in, tuned into the right spot, the right station, so that you can hear the voice. If you have your scripture, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting at verse 1. I'm going to try this week not to spill the whole thing of water down my leg. If you weren't here last week, I had my water right here, and I moved my hands, and I knocked the water down, and it ran down my legs and on my shoe. It was refreshing, but I would have preferred not to do that, actually. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Now that's sad. There were not many visions. And one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Boy, I'm jealous. When I read this, wow. Imagine laying down where the ark of God is, the presence of the living God, where God comes down between the outspread wings of the cherubim and in that inner area there, and he dwells there. His presence is there. Then the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Hineni, here am I." And he ran over to Eli and said, "Hineni, here am I. You called me?" But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." So he went and he laid down again. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Hineni, here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, it says. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Hineni, you called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there. And calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel," then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the key here is to be tuned in to the voice of God, that when he calls us, he's giving us direction and guidance, that we stop and we listen and we recognize the voice of God in the midst of, again, all that busyness and all that clatter. Now, at the beginning, you know, Samuel was just a young boy, very young, very small. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand it. He thought that Eli, who was the high priest of Israel, was calling him. And remember, Eli's mama, Hannah, had dedicated him to the Lord, and he was to serve the Lord forever. And after he was weaned, she brought him over to Eli to serve in the tabernacle area for all his days. He thought Eli was calling, but he wasn't tuned into God. The scripture says that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. If he had been or was tuned into God, he would have known that it was God who was speaking to him. And he would have clearly heard the instruction, understood that God was speaking to him. But what about us? Again, have we tuned in to God? Can we tell? Can you tell? Can I tell when God is speaking to us? Let me share this other little story. A Native American and his friend were in downtown New York City, walking near Times Square in Manhattan. It was during the noon lunch hour, and the streets and the sidewalks were just filled with what seemed like millions of people. Cars were honking their horn. Taxi cabs were screeching their tires and around corners. Sirens were wailing. The sound of the city was almost deafening. Has anyone ever been in New York City? Know what I'm talking about? Suddenly, the Native American said, "I hear a cricket." And his friend said, "What? You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise." So the Native American listened carefully for a moment. Then he walked across the street to a big cement planter where there were some shrubs where they were growing. And he looked into the bushes and beneath the branches. And sure enough, he located a small, little, teeny cricket. Now, his friend here, he was utterly amazed, as you can imagine. He said, "That's incredible. You must have superhuman ears. You got to have superhuman ears to hear that." "No," said the Native American. "My ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for." "But that can't be," said the friend. "I could never hear a cricket in all this noise." So he said, "Here, let me show you." So he reached into his pocket and he took out a bunch of change and he discreetly just started dropping them on the sidewalk, the change. And immediately, in the midst of all that noise of the crowded street and everything, everyone within 20 feet turned around and started looking to the ground. They heard that change. And he said, "See what I mean?" asked the Native American. "It all depends on what you're listening to or listening for, what's important to you. If you're tuned in to God, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You'll still be able to hear God speak. So if you want to tune into God, you have to know what station He is on. How can I hear Him? You've got to tune in to God. You've got to be dialed in and tuned into Him. And there are a number of ways that God can speak to you. When we read through the Tanakh, that's all of what's known as the First Covenant or the Old Testament. Throughout the Tanakh, we see different accounts of how God spoke to certain people. God spoke to Adam in the Garden of the Eden as a loving creator talking to his creation. God spoke to Noah in the midst of an evil and a corrupt world. He told him to build this ark to rescue humanity, to save human life and animals. God spoke to Abraham about his covenant promises and the formation of a nation people that would be devoted and dedicated to serving him. God spoke to Moshe. He spoke to Moses in a burning bush and proclaimed that he would be the deliverer of Israel to set them free from the cruel Pharaoh. As we look in the Brit Chadashah and the new covenant of Scripture, God spoke to Miriam through an angel about that miraculous, this Mary, the miraculous conception that had taken place within her. And he spoke of the Son of Glory that was to be born, who would save the world from their sins. God spoke to Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, as he saw the resurrected Yeshua on that road to Damascus, and he heard him speak of his mission and how much he would have to suffer for the name of Yeshua. And those examples time and time again throughout all the covenant of Scripture. But I'm sure we can't help but think, wow, I wish that God would speak to me like that. What would happen if God spoke to you audibly, like I'm speaking to you now? I bet most of you or a bunch of you in here would be scared to death. You really would be. Or you would think you were going absolutely bonkers, crazy. I'm hearing things. A lot of people think that God speaks through signs or burning bushes experience, but that's really not the norm. Those are rarities. While God doesn't necessarily reveal Himself to us in those same kind of ways today, He does reveal Himself in a lot of different various ways. God speaks to us through what's known as the fivefold ministry. That is what it says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. It says that he gave himself, or he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah. So whenever you're in a service, like you're in this service today, or you're on the Parsha study this afternoon, or if you're in a Bible study on Tuesday, whenever you're in something like that, or you're being counseled, you're receiving counsel about a situation or a problem in your life, and you're seeking spiritual guidance from someone, you're hearing from God. Because God speaks through the leadership of the congregation if you are willing to receive that word. But the problem is a lot of people are not willing to receive what the rabbi, the pastor, the leaders say, because they want some giant sign to come down from heaven, some lightning bolt to strike them, something like that. It just seems too simple that God can speak to you through his appointed leaders. But God does. And we need to realize that God, and as I'm standing here today, as I'm speaking to you, God is speaking to you. And you are to receive it, the message, with joy and with understanding, realizing that God speaks through his apostles, his prophets, his evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip you, to edify you, the body of Messiah. But God also speaks through his word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word of God gives us light. It gives us direction as we walk down the path of life. The word of God. You first learn how to hear from God by following the written word. You read his word, you learn from his word, you follow his word. And if you can't follow what's written in the word of God here, chances are you can't follow his audible voice if he was to speak to you as well. I remember one time when we lived in El Paso, and a member of our congregation's son just graduated high school. He was with a bunch of friends, and they had a revolver. And they put one bullet in the chamber of the revolver, and they were spinning it and putting the gun to their head, playing Russian roulette. Well, this woman in our congregation, her son just graduated, just turned 18, shot himself in the head. Blew off the back of his head. It was horrible. I was called. I went to the emergency room at the hospital. There he was in the emergency room. Blood everywhere. Everywhere. And I was there praying for him. I saw the whole back of his head was gone. It was horrific. Irene and I were trying to comfort the mother, the father in this situation, but this young man was brain dead. He was gone. He was connected to the machines keeping him alive. And we're trying to figure out, you know, what to say. How do you say something? What do you tell somebody at a time like this? And he was dead. No brain activity whatsoever. So I remember that we were trying to convince her somehow to let him go. And you can imagine trying to do that, to let him go. And she just couldn't. So she opened up the Word of God God gave her a scripture. She opened it and opened it to, and I cannot remember what the scripture was. And we were trying to also convince her they had wanted the young man's organs, you know, for help other people, his heart, his kidney, his liver, all these other things. And she turned the scripture and it says, and he will give his life for another. And I can't remember where that was, Isaiah or somewhere. I can't remember exactly what it was. But soon as she saw that, and the word of God spoke to her, she says, okay, I can let him go. Because God spoke to her through the word. God will speak to you through his word as well. I mean, I was just, couldn't believe it myself, how clearly God spoke. But God speaks through his word. God speaks also through his Ruach HaKodesh, through his Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 says that the Ruach himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is also known as the inward witness or the inward intuition, where the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will verify that you're doing something right or you're going in the wrong direction, you're making the wrong decision. And sometimes it's just that you just don't feel right about something. You just have an uneasiness about something. Something just doesn't seem right and proper. That's the inward spirit within you trying to speak to you that this is not right. That's why it doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. God's Spirit trying to show you and teach you. God also speaks to the inward voice of the conscience or the conscience. Romans 9:1 says, I tell you the truth in Messiah, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Ruach HaKodesh. Have you heard of that still small voice? Well, this is it. It's not real strong and overwhelming. It doesn't say, don't do that. It's your own spirit within you speaking to you. And it mostly speaks in just a word or a phrase. Maybe if you're planning on doing something or going somewhere, you hear this inward voice that may say, wait. That's it. Wait. Or, not yet. Or maybe even, stop. That's where we read in the book of Acts where Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wanted to go to one region and the Spirit was telling him, no, no. And that he was supposed to go to Macedonia. And he had this vision. Sometimes the Spirit of God just speaks to us and just says, no. Let me share this little story here. One day, William Jones was getting ready to leave his house, and he walked around the back of his truck to do what's known as a kid check. You know, make sure no kids are there. No one's around the car. So he doesn't see anything. So he hops in, he puts the car in reverse, but as soon as he lets his foot off the brake, he hears this voice on the inside saying, stop. So he does. Puts the car in park, the truck in park, takes his foot off the brake, and he waits. Then he tries again, and he shifts the car into reverse, takes his foot off the brake, and again he hears a voice inside saying, stop. So he stops, and he goes through the same process, and he tries again. Then he hears a voice even louder, stop. And this time he sees out the left side of his mirror a little head poking out from around the back of his truck. It was his son, Andrew, who was playing with the lights on the back of the truck. Now if William wouldn't have listened to that still, small voice, he would have run over his son. Thank God for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God that speaks to us. But we have to be listening to. to that voice. God speaks also through the authoritative voice of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19, it says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Ruach, the Spirit, said to him, behold, there are three men who are seeking you. And he tells them that you are to go with them and don't be afraid. Now, if God speaks to you like this, it's going to seem a lot louder on the inside. It may even seem audible, like you can hear it with your ears because it's so strong. But this doesn't happen that often. It's not an everyday occurrence that God speaks to you in this way. God speaks to us a lot through his fivefold ministry, through those that God has appointed to teach us and to pastor us and so forth. Or that sometimes a little voice within you, through your conscience or through the authoritative word of the Holy Spirit. So chances are you have not had the opportunity to hear God's voice at some point or another like this. But the question is, are you listening? Are you tuned in to God? Let me share about deadly interference. In John chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, it says that the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. What if all the sheep heard the shepherd calling, but a couple of them were off doing their own thing, just lollygagging around, not paying attention? They didn't notice that the flock was leaving the pasture and heading to the brook for water. Well, the next thing you know, the flock's gone and these two sheep are stuck. Because sheep are stupid. They can't find their way without the shepherd. They've got to have a shepherd. The flock could be just around the corner up the hill, but these two sheep can't find them. They'll panic until the shepherd comes to look for them. What happened to these sheep? Why didn't they listen to the shepherd when he said, come, follow me to the water? They were distracted. And there are a number of things that could be distracting you in this room today. First of all, maybe there is sin in your life that's distracting you. Sin is very pervasive. Once it gets a hold of you, it will choke you to death. It will keep you from doing the will of God. You'll be distracted by that sin because it will become all-consuming in your life. Maybe there's something that you won't let go of that's keeping you separated from God. Maybe you're angry about something. Maybe you're full of jealousy. Maybe there's other things that are just distracting you, keeping you separated from God. Or maybe it's not that you're preoccupied with sin, but you've got a totally different agenda on your mind. Maybe it's a new love interest that you have. Or some entertainment, something you're really getting involved in, or some quest for popularity, whatever it is. Maybe you're so worried about being Mr. or Mrs. Somebody that you don't even realize that God is trying to speak into your life. In order for you to hear God clearly, you have to get rid of all the distractions in your life. You have to be so tuned into God that no interference can cut in at all. Now, have you ever been listening to the radio and then suddenly, you're really getting it. Maybe there's a song on the radio. I see all the time young people that songs on the radio, and they're really getting into it and they're bopping up and down. I love that commercial that was on TV. The husband and wife are in their car, and they look over, and there's like these three or four ladies in the other car, and and they're all hopping and jumping around and all that. And the one lady says, "You go, girls." It turns out, then it shows the other car, and there's a bee in the car. And they're all screaming and yelling, "Ah, there's a bee in the car." Anybody remember that, seen that commercial? Yeah, Bob saw it. But maybe you're in the car, and you're hopping to some music, and you're grooving and everything. And all of a sudden, you hear some static. And then you begin to hear some other little voices speaking on the radio. And then you hear this awful song that's kind of breaking in and out, coming through for a second or two. That's interference. I get that whenever I go distances, I'm listening to, might have like Moody Radio on or something else, and I'm out of range, and it's another station stronger starts interfering and breaking in and all of that. That's interference. It could possibly mean that you're out of range, that you've moved too far away from the source. Well, if you're experiencing interference in your life while trying to hear from God, it could be that you move farther away from the source. You're too far away from the source, that you're getting static and you're getting interference. And you've got to get rid of that interference, cut out the distractions, drop what you're doing, draw near to God, get closer to the source. God is the source of everything. How do you draw? How do I draw near to God? How do I get my holy headphones on and hear His voice? Well, for one, we learn about Him and what He wants in our life. And how is this? We have to first study His Word, find out what He has to say, what He wants to tell us. I've been spending a lot of time, like I said, every single day for at least 45 minutes. I've been going through Luke, Mark, Matthew, not in the order, but order I felt the Lord having me do, and I'm going back and forth. I'm listening to it, and it's filling me. It's filling me. It's filling me. I'm trying to get closer to the source. Closer to the source. Closer to the source. I'm hearing His Word. Something, in fact, I'm hearing things for the first time even. You know, I've heard it, but I didn't really understand it or hear it. Study His Word, find out what He has to say. And we need to agree with God. Agree with Him. Don't argue with Him. He would never talk to us and contradict His own Word. Secondly, we need to practice listening. Practice makes perfect, doesn't it? When we study God's Word, ask ourselves, what could God be trying to tell me through this? What are You telling me through this, Lord? What do You want me to understand through all this? When we pray, we have to have a time of reflection where we're still and know that He is God, as it says in Psalm 46:10. But let me tell you that the closer you get to the shepherd, the louder His voice will be. And we have to get close to the shepherd. At a meeting of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Bobby Richardson, who was a former New York Yankee second baseman, he offered a prayer which is a classic. And I love this. Simple prayer. And I think sometimes we should just pray this simple prayer. You know, people sometimes get up and they want to give big elaborate prayers and a lot of words, fancy words, flowing words. But this is what he said at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He said, "Dear God, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen." Let me say that again. Dear God, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. So be it. So let us now stand with me, please. We need to learn how to pray, how to hear from God. Now let's just take a minute as you're standing. Cut out the distractions. Cut out all your distractions. Concentrate. If you want, lift your arms. And I just want you to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I'm listening, Lord. Lord, cut out, help me to cut out the distractions. Help me to draw closer to my shepherd that I might hear his voice. Just go ahead, just for a few minutes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O God.